No, not at all.
Gives me a chance to get my morning hedge.
Oh, okay. Today I'd like to take up a topical study from the scriptures. The name of the study is Bible Memorials. Memorials, Bible Memorials. And we're going to list them off here in case you don't get to the end of it. You just know what they all are. Sometimes you give a list of things and you don't get to the end of it and the message never gets finished. Hopefully we'll finish it today. Bible Memorials. And the first one is the rainbow. Second one, Joseph's bones. Third one is the Passover feast. Fourth one is the brazen serpent. Fifth one is 12 stones in Jordan River. And the sixth is the Lord's Supper. Those six. So the first one we take up now is the rainbow of God's promise. Now you know back in those days there was a flood, and that flood was because of the way people were acting in this world that God had created. I'd like to bring about a couple of verses here. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And looking at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Think of it. God created man, and yet now he's grieved at his heart because of the way man has been acting. And then also verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. But all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, the end of the flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now this is known as the flood, the great flood that happened upon the earth. We read about the rainbow that came afterward in Genesis chapter 9, and reading at verse 8. Genesis 9 and 8. And God spake unto Noah unto his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with everything, every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall it be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is a token of the covenant which I will make with me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that a bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy the flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between between God and every living creature of all flesh that be upon the earth. So here we have a token of God's promise that there was a flood that destroyed most people of the earth, all except Noah and his family. But there will never again be destruction by a flood. But there will be the earth will be destroyed by fire. And we'll turn to 2 Peter for that. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So here we have the first memorial. God remembered his promise that there will not be a flood to cover the whole earth again. So when you see the cloud and see the rainbow in the cloud, God remembers his promise, and we remember his promise. Due to the rainbow there, never again be destroyed by a flood, but there will be a destruction of the earth by fire. Now the second memorial we have is Joseph's bones. What about that? Well, we find that after Joseph lived in Egypt for a while and became a ruler in Egypt, and he died actually in Egypt. And we'll turn over to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, reading verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. But he was not buried in Egypt. So he said that God would visit the people, and that they would be carried up out of Egypt to the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we find this also reiterated in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. What about the bones? Well, they were carried along on their journey out of Egypt into the promised land. And we find that in Exodus 13. Exodus 13. Verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And so there was a presence of the children of Israel to have the bones of Joseph with them along on the journey. And we find that it was the presence with them of the bones. It was a coffin that carried along. But it was a faithfulness to the end of the journey to do what they were told to do. The bones were carried about 400 years as they carried along. Can you imagine it? They were faithful in what they were told to do, and they did it. And we find in Joshua 24, Joshua 24, verse 32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of land which Jacob bought, of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. So that is the second thing. It was a memorial. They carried that memorial with them all on the journey till they got to the promised land, and they buried the bones as they were told to do. Now the third memorial we have is the Passover feast. And this speaks about how the children of Israel were saved from death by the Passover, by the angel of death passing over the land. They were saved. Why? Because they were told to put blood on the doorposts and on the lintel of the door. When the death angel came through, he saw that the blood was there. He passed over, and the people were killed. They were not killed inside the house. Wherever the house was, it didn't have the blood on the door, people were killed. That's what it means, pass over. The death angel passed over the children of Israel there. Now we have Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, reading of verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, it tells us that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Christ is our sacrifice. He's our Passover. He was sacrificed for us. So these people were saved by the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain, put on the doorposts. Now Christ celebrates the last feast in Luke 22. Thank you. Luke 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And then down, verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, that is Christ, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you that I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this, divide among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. So the Lord Jesus celebrated the last Passover with his folks, his disciples, there at that time. And he looked forward to the time in the future, in the kingdom, time when he will again celebrate that Passover feast again. Then the fourth memorial is the brazen serpent. And it's a picture of salvation. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21, verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, where there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now this, the Lord Jesus reported this again in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So this whole thing was the memorial was to be done and kept for a while. It was a picture of Christ hanging on the cross for our sins. The brazen serpent upon the pole. What happened? The people were complaining against God and against Moses. They said, you haven't given us things that we needed here. We don't have any water, and we don't have this and that. And so the Lord heard them. And he said, what's going to happen here is I'm going to send serpents among the people. People are getting bitten by these serpents. They're going to die. But there's a way of salvation. put this brazen serpent up on a pole, and whoever looks up there, even though you're bitten by the serpents, even you see this brazen serpent on the pole, you will live. You won't die. And so now, in the New Testament, the Lord pictures that and said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. How? Upon the cross at Calvary, he was lifted up. And whoever looks upon him will be saved, if you trust him as your Lord and your Savior. Now the next memorial is, I got to tell you one more thing about the brazen serpent. Had to be destroyed. 2 Kings chapter 18. Verse 4. Talking about Hezekiah king. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. So the Lord said, that was not to be an idol, this brazen serpent. And so it's got to be destroyed. So he destroyed the brazen serpent that was on the pole because the people were worshiping this brazen serpent. They called it Nehushtan. That was the name of the false god that they made out of it. Then we come to the next one, is the 12 stones in Jordan River. Speaking of God's power, turn over to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, reading at verse 4. Then Joshua, and now the children of Israel have gone into the promised land. And Joshua called the 12 men he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. Joshua said unto them, pass over the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask your fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. And the waters of Jordan were cut off. These stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So this was once again a way that God showed his power by drying up the river Jordan in that place so the children of Israel could pass over. And what was to be done? They were to take 12 stones out of the midst of the river Jordan. For every tribe, one stone. So they got over to the other side. They put all these stones in a pile. And the children then could say to their parents, why are these stones here? And they were told that because God showed his power in drying up the River Jordan so that the ark of the Lord and the people could pass through on dry land and get over to the other side. So this was like a duplicate of what happened at the Red Sea when the sea was dried up. Children of Israel could pass over onto the other side. And the Egyptians, trying to do the same thing, were drowned. They were killed. So how could they forget God when these memorials are shown to them time and time again? Then the sixth one we have is the Lord's Supper. And it's remembering the Lord's death, which we did here this morning. Christ institutes the supper, Luke 22. Luke 22, reading at verse 19. And Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it. He gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. There are other places in the scripture that speak of this same thing about Christ instituting the supper for himself. These symbols, the bread and the wine, speak of the body and blood of the Lord who died on Calvary's cross for our sins. The early Christians celebrated it in Acts chapter 2. Which Rick has been bringing before us. Acts chapter 2. Reading at verse 41. Then they gladly received the word, were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So here we have it. They were doing what they were told to do. One of the things was to break bread in remembrance of the Lord's Supper until the Lord came. We find this happening also, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech unto midnight. So this was a weekly gathering, starting on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together for what? They came together to break bread in remembrance of the Lord's Supper. Now Paul had that teaching for the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know that the Apostle Paul was not present when the Lord instituted the supper. Why? Well, he wasn't even saved yet. The Apostle Paul was saved later. He was Saul. He was running around trying to capture Christians and put them to death and put them in prison. But the Lord spoke to him and he got saved. He was converted. From Saul he became Paul, the Apostle Paul. So, how did he hear about the Lord's Supper? Well, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he says, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So this was Paul's teaching for the church, in which we're still doing it today. We did it at 9:30 this morning. And that is a wonderful time of blessing as we gather together. Remember that the Lord Jesus died for our sins that we might be saved. And he's alive forevermore. And he asks us that we remember him. And it said that as often you do this, you show the Lord's death until he comes. So any moment the Lord may come. Second coming of the Lord. And we had the privilege this morning of doing it once again in loving and remembrance of our Savior. So we got through these six memorials. I'll read them up again to you so you don't forget them. First one was the rainbow. God put the rainbow in the sky so that you'll remember that, and God will remember. It's not going to destroy the earth with a flood anymore. Second one was Joseph's bones, promise of deliverance to be brought into Egypt, from Egypt into the promised land there. And so Joseph's bones were carried along from Egypt into the promised land, where they were then buried the way he asked to be done. Even though it was 400 years they were carrying those bones, still they did it. It was something that they remembered to do. It was a memorial. The third one was the Passover feast, where people were saved from death when they put the blood on the side posts of the door and on the lintel. So when the death angel passed over, the firstborn of Pharaoh was killed, and others were killed when the death angel passed over. That's why it's called Passover. They passed over. When you hear about that, it's the Passover feast. And the Lord celebrated it the last time when he was here. Then the fourth one was the brazen serpent put upon a pole, so the people that were bitten with serpents, because they'd sinned, they spoke against God, against Moses. They spoke against God. Couldn't have that. So he said, put that brazen serpent on the pole. Whoever is bitten by serpents will be healed. They will live. They won't die. And then the fifth one is 12 stones in Jordan River, showing God's power once again to dry up the river so that they could pass over with the Ark of the Covenant. The 12 people from the 12 tribes of Israel, each one carrying a big stone on his shoulder. When they got over, they put the 12 stones there. So when the children of Israel, the kids, ask their parents, why are these stones here? And they were told, because God told us to take them out of the river when it was dry, put them over here on a dry land and pile them up. That's a memorial to what God did by his power. And then the fifth one is the Lord's Supper, in which we remember, according to his plan, according to his promise, what he asked us to do. Even this morning, we did it here. It says, the as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So it's anticipating the Lord's coming where we do it. It might happen any day. It might happen yet. The rest of this day here, the Lord may come. Anytime the Lord may come, will you be ready? If you're saved, following the Lord, you will be ready. Now let's see. Looks like we haven't got any pianists today. But I want to read the hymn that I was going to have. 247. I'll read it. I've a message from the Lord, hallelujah. The message unto you I'll give. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Verse 2. I've a message full of love, hallelujah. A message, oh my friend, for you. 'Tis a message from above, hallelujah. Jesus said it, and I know it's true. Verse 3. Life is offered unto you, hallelujah. Eternal life thy soul shall have. If you only look to him, hallelujah. Look to Jesus, who alone can save. Verse 4. I will tell you how I came, hallelujah, to Jesus when he made me whole. 'Twas believing on his name, hallelujah, I trusted and he saved my soul. So we're asked to look and live like those people that were bitten by serpents. If they looked at the serpent on the pole, they lived. Today we're asked by this hymn to look and live at the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised up on the cross. Look to him and you live. So are you live? Are you living? Have you done it? That's what I leave you with now. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for now these memorials in the scripture that help us to remember what was done by the almighty power. And thou didst look to see how the people were doing. And there were times when they didn't do very well, and other times when they trusted thee and did do well. And so even we've been asked to do things like we did with this morning, 9:30, the Lord's Supper we had here. So we thank thee for this remembrance, all these remembrances that we read about in the scripture this morning. And now we give thanks in our Savior's blessed holy name. If anybody is not saved, do it today. Look and live. Amen.